used the radio that time. Well, it's surely a privilege to share the ministry with Brother Nicholson. I met him a couple of years ago at a family conference in West Virginia and enjoyed his ministry tremendously. In his university training, he majored in science, I believe, and he can answer the evolutionist on their own ground and talk the language of the young people, as he did in the mornings. And then at night, he spoke to the adults and preached like an old man. So he's a rare combination, and I'm so happy to see him here. And I know you're going to enjoy his ministry. So as usual, we save the dessert till last. And we'll have the Georgia grits first. 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, and reading through chapter 4, verse 7. And we're still thinking about the will of God as we were studying last night. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. And this is our thought tonight, holiness. Unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence or the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in the matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. This word, holiness, is the same word as sanctification. In the original Greek, you have the same word letter for letter. Sanctification, holiness, they're the same thing. The word holy, sanctified, are identical words in the original. Saints is the same word as holy. Saints is simply the noun, and holy is the adjective, or sanctified. They are all the same, from the same root. They are the same word, just different forms of it, and sometimes just different English translations of the very same word. That's just to clear up any a confusion anybody might have about these different words. Saints, holy, sanctified, sanctification, holiness, they are all the same thing. And you notice here, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, we've seen that the proof that we are saved is that we practice God's will in our life. And we need to examine ourselves by that very test. Is my life characterized by doing God's will. And you remember the Lord Jesus said he claims kin those who are characterized by this very principle in their life. For he said in Mark 3:35, whoso shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. And he said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, and in thy name do many wonderful works, and in thy name cast out demons? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that practice self-will. So the test is whether we do the will of God. That's the proof of our salvation. And now we're looking at the will of God for every believer, and it's holiness. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, the importance of this is seen just by the frequency in which it occurs in the Word of God. The word holy occurs 400 times in the Old Testament. Of course, the name Holy Spirit uses that same word, holy. Taking that in consideration, we do find that the word holy is used many, many times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the word holy occurs 235 times, but of course you remember many of those times it's referring to the Holy Spirit. But even considering that, you can tell that the word holy runs throughout the Scriptures. In fact, in the New Testament, the word holy, just that one form, holy, that word is used of us 62 times in the New Testament. That alone should tell you and me how important this matter is. Holiness, sanctification. And the very fact that it is expressly stated to be the will of God for every Christian should underline its importance. And then, too, the very purpose of God in calling us. He has called us through the gospel. And here, in verse 7, he says what he called us unto, what the purpose of his call was to you and me. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And so all of this emphasizes the importance of holiness to you and me. Well, what is holiness? Well, the concordances and the lexicons tell us that the root meaning of the word is to separate, to set aside. And that's the basic meaning of the word holiness, sanctification, holy. It's one set apart. That's what a saint is, one set apart. But as you read the Scriptures, you find that this separation is negative and it's positive. We find that it's separation from and it's separation unto. The Nazarite is a very good type of this whole truth of separation, of holiness. The Nazarite in number 6 was separated from certain things, and he was separated unto the Lord. It repeats the statement over and over in chapter 6 of Numbers. He is separated unto the Lord. So, this matter of holiness is a separation from and it's unto. Look, for example, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, you have here separation from the world. And that doesn't mean from the sinful things of the world. That means the world. The world is not the evils. The world is humanity. Under Satan's organization, Satan's control, it's unsaved humanity as a system. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You see, he's speaking of people here. The world are not evil things. The world are people. God so loved the world. He didn't love things. He loved people. Even the lost people. That's the world. And this separation, this holiness is a separation from the world. From unsaved humanity. Yes, we're to love lost sinners as he loved them. And yet there was never one more separate from them than the Lord himself. Whenever he was in the world, he was always shining. He was always the truth. He was always the light. And he never diluted his message or his walk or his talk because he was with the world. But he always shone like a bright light right in their midst and yet loved them. And even though they hated him, as the scripture tells us. And this is true holiness. It is one set aside, a saint, one set apart from the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, our Lord said. So as he takes up that matter of the world and the Christian in this portion in 2 Corinthians, he concludes it in verse 1 of the next chapter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In that context, holiness is a one set apart from the world. Then in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, holiness is again referred to, and here it's moral holiness. It's now the evils themselves. It's not the world as such, but it's the evils. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, sodomites, as other translations give it, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Each one of those verbs in verse 11 is in the aorist tense, a past finished action. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. And he's speaking of moral sins. And so this holiness is from all moral evil. And then you have this sanctification in the ecclesiastical sphere. In 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We are to be sanctified, set apart as to the church, as to our church association. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house, he's spoken in 1 Timothy of the house of God being the church. But now in 2 Timothy, the last epistle of the great apostle Paul, and he sees things in ruin, and he's describing professing Christendom in the last days. And in verse 20 he says, but in a great house, the house has now become a great house, like the little mustard seed in the parable became a great tree, and the birds of the air lodged in its branches, which is a perversion of the kingdom. And here it's a perversion of the house of God. It's become a great house. And in it are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and fit or suitable for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. This is ecclesiastical separation. You know, I heard a wonderful Bible teacher one day teach verse 20 this way. He said that in this house are vessels that are very ornamental, very beautiful. It says vessels of gold and of silver. And then there are some that are in the kitchen that are like the kettle, sometimes a little black on the bottom, and wouldn't do as a decoration or an ornament, whereas the gold and silver vessels are out in the living room where the visitors can look at them and enjoy them. But the vessels of wood and of clay, he says, are back in the kitchen. And you must be content to be one of these vessels of wood or clay if God's made you that. Or if he has blessed you in being a vessel of gold or silver, then rejoice in it and use it to his glory. But my friend, that is absolutely not what this scripture is saying. He is saying that these are two types of vessels, and don't be one type whatever you do. He's described these two kinds of vessels, and he says some to honor and some to dishonor, and then he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. He's not saying be satisfied to be a vessel of dishonor. He says you must be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and fit for the master's use. And he tells you how. He says in this great house, now you have vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And the context here is false teachers. He is talking about in this very context of Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have taught damnable heresy, who say the resurrection is past and overthrow the faith of some. And this is the context of it. And these are the vessels of dishonor. It's false teaching. It's the apostates. There are some people, you might find this difficult to believe, but I've met them, who say, yes, I go to this church where this liberal preaches, and I sit there and pray for him all through the service. And that Christian justifies being associated with that church on such a basis as that. I remember a wonderful servant of the Lord who was a tremendous blessing to me, and I would never think to touch the hem of his garment. But he was criticizing the Darby translation because he said, Darby, in this verse, this is the only time I've ever found anybody to find anything wrong with the Darby translation, which is really amazing, isn't it? And he found this error in verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these. And Darby translates it, if he purges himself by separating himself from these. And he was criticizing that translation. But do you know that is exactly what it says? This verse says, if a man therefore purge himself, the word purge is the Greek word purge, which is used many times, and then it has a preposition in front of it, ek, which means out of. And so it reads, if a man purge himself out of, and then the Greek adds another preposition after the verb, apo, which means away from. And so it literally reads, if a man therefore purge himself out of, away from these. And so Darby translated it perfectly. And we are to come out from such. And we are not to fellowship with liberals. And if you want to be a vessel sanctified, fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work, then withdraw yourself from association with liberalism, with false teaching that is false in the fundamentals of the faith. This is separation. This is holiness. It's from, it's being set aside from certain evils. The world, moral evil, and ecclesiastical evil. And it's unto the Lord. The Nazarite was separated unto the Lord. And all that separation from is nothing but Pharisaical legalism, self-righteousness, if it is not because of separation of heart, devotedness to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. That's balanced holiness. But you know, this still, to me, does not quite completely give us the thought of holiness. I believe that it goes deeper than just separation. I believe as you read the word holy in the scriptures, you just get an impression that's deeper than just simple separation. And that is, it means God-likeness. It means His very character being imparted to us, being shared by us. For example, he says in 1 Peter 1:15, as He who hath called you, notice, he's going to mention holiness again, and he speaks of Him calling us. He has called us to holiness. As He who hath called you is holy. Now, stop and think about that. You can't just say that word describing God just means He's set apart from evil. It goes deeper, doesn't it? It's speaking of His character. And it says, as He who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of life. So to me, it's really God-likeness is the further meaning of this word holiness. And oh dear saints, that's what God wants you and me to be, is holy ones. Now, the scripture teaches this is absolute, and yet it is progressive, that we have been sanctified. We have been sanctified in three ways. One is by the blood of Christ, Hebrews 13, Verse 12, Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Hebrews 10:10, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus, Jesus Christ, once for all. And we read a moment ago in Corinthians that ye are, and it's the aorist past, you were sanctified. And so it's an absolute thing. It's done by the blood of Christ. And in Christ Jesus, that is by our identification with him, the fact that God sees us identified with Christ, the risen Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, or who is made unto us wisdom from God, even righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Just by virtue of our identification with Christ, we are sanctified. It's already done. And the fact that the Spirit of God dwells in us. You notice we read in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 a while ago, and he was saying that we were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Holy Spirit being in you and me sanctifies us. It's already done. And now this is to be a progressive growth in your life and mine. Perfecting holiness, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. And you and I ought to grow in holiness. That is, knowing that we are saints, that we are holy ones. We must now practice this. We must perfect this in our practical everyday living. As he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of life. And how? Well, the answer, I think, is in Romans chapter 7 and verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you have been made dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you should be joined to another, even to him that is raised up from among dead ones, so that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The reason that you and I can be holy, the reason that you and I can live this high standard of life as he is holy, is that we are united to the risen Christ. We have been joined to him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And again in 1 Corinthians you read, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. This is saying that I share the same spirit that is in Christ, a risen Christ. And therefore, as the very bulletin of this conference reminds us, we should know the power of his resurrection in our lives. Oh, saints of God, may we hear the will of God and go on in a passion to be holy, even as he is holy. May God bless his word.